Fantasy Football Week 10 on the Rookie Big Board. I'm your host, Matt Hicks, the FF Educator, back this week with John Lobb, the Gridiron Scholar. We are back here with our weekly college fantasy football episode covering all of our marvelous matchups, best bets, prize picks, everything in between. John, in the midst of all of my travels, I am now sick, but powering through this episode, so I'll apologize to the listeners for my voice ahead of time, but we have another jam-packed episode heading into a huge Week 10. I swear this college football season just gets more chaotic as it goes. And John, that doesn't stop with the top five, top three matchups that we'll be talking about on today's show. It starts with Western Kentucky at Charlotte, over-under of 72. Western Kentucky is a 16.5 point favorite. But John, Charlotte, who has been beat up all season, all of a sudden comes back, fires their coach, who previously was very popular, and then they come out and they have a smash performance. So between Western Kentucky and Charlotte here, John, this is actually a really intriguing matchup.
It absolutely is, and here's Conference USA giving us a 72 over under, the highest on the slate. You mentioned the 49ers and a change of the coaching. But what's interesting, if you need a quarterback this week, Chris Reynolds of Charlotte is a nice late waiver wire addition to your team. I mean, you have to consider a quarterback, Matt, with that many points projected in the game. Huge underdog. He might throw the football 45 times. He's also a dual threat, so he could get 40 yards rushing with the touchdown. Because near the goal line, they don't really have a back you can count on.
And now it's all Chris Reynolds.
Yes. And then you have their three receivers. I'm going to talk about Elijah Spencer later, who's been playing some great ball. He's their number one wide receiver right now. Then you still have Grant DuBois and Victor Tucker. And, of course, Western Kentucky. No running game. It's Austin Reed, Daywood Davis, Malachi Corley, the two receivers, and possibly Joshua Simon, the tight end. That's where you want to go on Western Kentucky. Most of those players are taken, so the availability right now is more on the Charlotte side, but you can always look at the depth charts. But there should be some fantasy goodness if you need it on that side.
All right, Texas Tech at TCU, a underrated Texas shootout here between the Red Raiders and the Horned Frogs. Over under 69.5, TCU is laying 9.5 points, so expected to be the favorite. On the TCU side, John, I think it's no surprise. It's Max Duggan. It's Kendre Miller. It's Quentin Johnston, who is now performing consistently, 4 receptions in each of the last 2 games after being non-existent to start and then getting 22 receptions in against Kansas and Oklahoma State. We've leveled out at some level of consistency. I think it's worth mentioning Darius Davis as well, who's been a little bit less consistent, but certainly is getting the receptions and has a little bit of touchdown upside if you need to dig deeper. On the Texas Tech side of the ball, we've talked about this offense a decent amount, so I'll highlight Xavier White, the wide receiver, because I don't feel like we've highlighted him too much. A little bit of a down week last week, 2 for 45, but before that, at least 8 receptions against West Virginia, Oklahoma State, and Kansas State, respectively, and a touchdown in each of those games. So I think Xavier White is absolutely somebody to key in this game.
Matt, there are some players to watch, but I want to talk about Kendre Miller. I swallowed the bullet for Quentin Johnston in week 7 on our show because I said bench him, and since then Johnson's gone off. So all our viewers, you're welcome. I took it. I said he was done, and he's just been a fantasy star and kind of moving up into that first-round draft consideration with so many wide receivers falling out because just not on the field. But Kendre Miller – If you are a Debbie player, if you're an NFL draft Nick, you better get your eyeballs on this young man. I don't think he's getting enough discussion. Matt, he has NFL size, 6'0", 220. I've watched a ton of TCU this year. Kendre Miller is a legitimate prospect who's not getting enough buzz. You better watch him. You know, we got four more games in the regular season. TCU might be in the Big 12 championship game. You're looking at, they run the table and win the Big 12. They could get into the CFP. You know, so we're looking at a trio of great fantasy players here. And Texas Tech, man, I want to like their quarterback. Zach Kittley, we've talked about him. But every time I go to start one of them between Tyler Shook, Donovan Smith, Bayron Morton, the latest guy, they all fail you at one time or another. Like, you're expecting a big game, and they just don't come through for you. It's just not clicking. Miles Price has been in and out. He's been frustrating. I agree with you with Xavier White. Matt, he transferred from running back to wide receiver this year. He's been great in Kittley's system. But when Price is on the field, he doesn't seem to do as well. And if you've noticed, the Red Raiders have tweaked. They've been running the ball more with Taj Brooks and Sir Roderick Thompson lately. They're actually getting too many fantasy points for a Kittley backfield. I'm not happy about that. But we are looking at a 69.5 over-under. So go to your waiver wire and check out some players, everyone.
UCLA at Arizona State, a Pac-12 game with an over-under of 66 here. Vegas is leaning UCLA heavily here with a 10.5-point spread on this game in favor of the Bruins. It obviously starts with Zach Charbonnet. Folks know that. Charbonnet, 10 touchdowns in just 7 games, 3 touchdowns in 2 separate games, including in his last game against Stanford. He's an auto play. John, I know you're going to talk about Jake Bobo a little bit later in this episode, so I won't give out too much there. But Kazmir Allen also definitely on the radar. Last 3 games, 3 receptions, 8 receptions, 6 receptions, respectively. And on the Arizona State side of the ball, John, how about Xavien Volladay? You know, I feel like we were so disappointed when Volladay went from Wyoming to Arizona State from a CFF perspective that we've not talked about him as much, but he has scored a touchdown, at least 1 touchdown in each of his last 4 games. He's averaging over 20 touches on the ground per game over the last 3, going over 105 times this season. Definitely somebody who I don't feel like is getting the credit he deserves. And I know you'll also talk about one of their wide receivers in your sleeper segment.
And Matt, all of our viewers, I hope they've been listening to you long enough, and you deserve all the credit. Matt has been on Zach Charbonnet train for a real long time. Now, Matt's convinced me to get a ticket, and I've been on board since about mid-August now. And I liked him, but, you know, I'm a Michigan fan. The transfer was a problem, you know, and he had a great year, and he came back. And he's even playing better, Matt, this year than last year.
Oh, yeah.
I have a second-round grade on Zach Charbonnet right now. I know there's still in the Twitterverse different opinions on him. But, Matt, that size and speed combination, the NFL is going to love Zach Charbonnet. If you have not got your eyeballs on him, everyone, you better start watching this young man. Do not be surprised if he goes in the second round. You just don't have that size-speed combination. I know he doesn't have the most wiggle, but Zach Charbonnet wins in a lot of other ways, Matt. And he is dangerous on the second level. And this Arizona State, they're actually not bad, Matt. I thought they were going to be a disaster. I mean, we were worried because it looked like Xavien Volladay was going from a great system at Wyoming where they feed the running backs. And you're like, I don't like what's happening at Arizona State. They fired the coach on White, the former Jets coach, right? Herm Edwards. And you know what? They've been playing better football. They switched. Their quarterback is now Trenton Bourgeau. And I have to be honest, I haven't gotten eyeballs on him yet, so I can't tell you. But they're moving the football. They're putting points on the board. Volladay is a must start. He's a top 24 running back in college fantasy football. And I will talk about my wide receiver sleeper later.
Tennessee at Georgia, John, potentially the game of the season for the college football world. I waited long enough. Hendon Hooker finally made the cover image for folks watching on YouTube. I felt I was patient enough with my fandom. Tennessee is traveling to Athens. The over-under here is 65.5, and Georgia is an 8.5-point favorite at home. John, I tweeted out earlier this week that I felt like this game should be called the Goodest Boy game because of the two best mascots in college football. They have yet to rename the matchup, but I'm going to keep that petition alive. On the Tennessee side, it's obviously Hendon Hooker. That's an autoplay. That's a non-talking point. I would be a little bit scared off of Jabari Small this week. You know, certainly he's got the volume to justify playing, but against this Georgia front seven, I'm not sure that I would ride with Jabari Small if I had other options at the running back or flex position. Jalin Hyatt is a full send. Cedric Tillman is back and healthy. He is going to be a full send as well. If you're really desperate, I wouldn't say really desperate, but if you're looking low at the tight end position, I wouldn't rule out Princeton Fant. He's been getting more targets as the season's gone on, 15 receptions on the season. So, you know, if you're looking for some help at the tight end position. And then the Georgia offense, John, I know they're going to score points, but it's hard for me to pinpoint exactly where those points are going to be coming from. In a classic Georgia sense, they've been splitting touches pretty evenly between Edwards and McIntosh. Milton has struggled to stay healthy and on the field. Stetson Bennett will occasionally get rushes and stealing rushing touchdowns. And then tight end, you know, is really leading the way receiving-wise. Obviously, Brock Bowers is in play. I think Ladd McConkey's in play. If you look at this implied over-under, it's going to be one of the highest for Georgia of the season. And I expect Georgia to absolutely be in this game. But if they are going to be in the game, they have to be able to score with this Tennessee offense, despite Georgia's defense being the best defense Tennessee will play this year. So I do think that is going to be fantasy rich. But to be honest, it's a little unclear exactly where that fantasy scoring is going to come from.
Matt, we know Brock Bowers is a must start. Doesn't matter the matchup, anything.
Lock him in.
Lock him in. So I actually started my sleepers column. I've identified my sleeper quarterbacks. And Matt, I came to one conclusion. Stetson Bennett is available in 70% of leagues right now. If you're looking for a quarterback and you want a high floor, he's gone over 30 points three times this year. Matt, the only place the points are coming up from other than Brock Bowers is Stetson Bennett. He has 5 rushing touchdowns, 9 passing touchdowns, over 2,300 yards. If Tennessee gets up or Tennessee is even leading 10-7 quickly or 10-0, that is going to force the Bulldogs to put points on the board. Vegas is telling us they're going to put points on the board. We got 65.5 over under, and Georgia's an 8.5-point favorite. The points are coming through Bennett. I came to the conclusion, hey, is there anything better than having a college fantasy football player when you're hanging out watching the best game of the day? I mean, I'm going to sit there. I got my Hendon Hooker shares. I got my Cedric Tillman shares. I got my Jalin Hyatt shares. I have Brock Bauer. Now I got a little Stetson Bennett. Man, there is just so – go with him. There's goodness in this game. Now, maybe DeJuan Edwards, he's been playing the best, but you also get the monkey wrench with Kenny McIntosh because he's the pass catcher. What if Georgia falls behind? So there's great risk in the backfield from a fantasy standpoint. And you mentioned them all in Tennessee. If you got to volunteer, I agree that there's concern with Jabari Small, but I'll say this, Matt, he's still worth the flex position start.
Yeah. Yep.
If you got to volunteer, put him in your lineup.
I like that. All right. Oklahoma State at Kansas. Over under here is 65.5. Oklahoma State is a 2-point favorite. It's an interesting matchup, John, because both of these offenses appear to be led this week by, you know, coming back from injury, mixed in with injury, have partially recovered between Jalen Daniels for Kansas and Spencer Sanders for Oklahoma State. So although these are two offenses that I feel we've discussed in pretty good detail throughout the season, John, there's just a lot of variable around both of them.
Yes, I mean, the quarterback position is the key. When I'm looking for sleepers, you know, I'm always looking at high over-unders and game script. And Vegas is telling us this is 66.5, my friend, with two backup quarterbacks. Now, as of now, my report that I'm looking at, Spencer Sanders is out. That means Gunnar Gundy is going to be the starter. So that's a desperation quarterback. However, Will Howard, the starter at – oh, no, wait, Kansas. I'm sorry. I was thinking
– yeah, Kansas, Jalen Daniels, yeah.
You either have Jason Bean or I believe Jalen Daniels dressed last week, but he didn't
– he was in the game.
Oh, he was. So he
– yeah.
Did he play the whole
partially,
game?
Partially.
Oh, partially. So if you – what we want from a fantasy standpoint is we want one clear starter. That's all we ask, right?
Yes. Yeah.
I don't care if it's Bean or Daniels. As long as one of the two young men start, I'm okay with it. Because Jason Bean's been very good from a fantasy standpoint, even though, unfortunately, he's not winning games, right? There's the conundrum. He's actually producing fantasy points, but he's not winning games. So you know the coaching staff and the teammates want Jalen Daniels. Hopefully we'll have answers by, you know, early Saturday morning. If I know Daniels is starting, I could pick him up and put him in my lineup. The other challenge is Devin Neal, who I like, he doesn't have a ceiling. They don't give him enough touches. It's kind of frustrating. And now these Oklahoma Sooner wide receivers who traditionally we've had one stud receiver who produces tons of points, that's not happened this year with the Cowboys. So it's a tough game to find players. Even though we know there's going to be points on the board, it's very difficult.
All right. We normally don't highlight a Thursday night game, but we're a little ahead of schedule this week. So if you're listening on Thursday, watching on Wednesday night, you'll be able to get a preview here for Appalachian State at Coastal Carolina. Over under here is 64, with App State just a 3-point favorite. A pretty good matchup here, John, between two Sun Belt teams. Appalachian State is very much a ground-and-pound game, which involves a deep rotation of running backs, led by Cameron Peoples, though. And Cameron Peoples is leading the way in touchdowns, John, on the ground. But they have, I want to make sure I get this right here, 6 different running backs, and plus Chase Bryce, who have scored rushing touchdowns this year. So that throws a little bit of a wrench in play, but Cameron Peoples leads the way. In terms of receiving, it's Christian Horn at wide receiver leading the way with 4 touchdowns, Deshaun Davis with 31 receptions. Christian Horn, I would say, coming off of a disappointing game against Georgia State, but has had some bigger weeks this year, going over 100 nearly 3 times. And then for Coastal Carolina, obviously led by Grayson McCall, that is an auto lock in that lineup. But Sam Pinckney and Jared Brown, both very viable wide receivers. Pinckney more valuable in a PPR format, where Jared Brown has the 5 receiving touchdowns leading the way there. And not to be slept on, John, is running back C.J. Beasley. We've talked a lot about which running back to go with Coastal this year, but Beasley is leading the way on the ground. Just 11 touches last week, but what I like about Beasley is he's contributing through the air as well, 16 receptions this season.
Yeah, I like Coastal Carolina. I love when they have one back, when you have a definitive starter. You know, it's great for us in the CFF hobby. They've had Reese White, C.J. Beasley, I don't even know what happened to Braden Bennett. He was like, I was very interested in him over the summer. He's just basically disappeared. We don't know anything. There's no reports. They don't have to tell you anything in college football. I like Pinckney a lot, and I would still start Grayson McCall. Appalachian State. I would feel comfortable starting Cameron Peoples or Nate Noel. Those are the two who I'm focusing on. I'm not touching any of the wide receivers at App State. They just don't throw the wide receivers enough. And right now with App State favored, they are very likely to run the ball just a ton, Matt.
On to our Fantastic Four. All right, here we go. Fantastic Four sleepers of the week. John and myself both identify a quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and a flex position here, although John has gotten very flexy with it appears this week. I'll let you go ahead and start with your quarterback selection.
Well, if you can't get Stetson Bennett or you're worried about a ceiling, the other quarterback, and I can't even believe I'm saying this, but Sean Clifford, Matt, I was shocked. Penn State is the number 15 team in the country. They're 6-2. And look at their schedule, Matt. They have Indiana, Maryland at home. So if you got to play Maryland, I prefer to play them at home. Rutgers and just an awful Michigan State. They're going to go 3-1 at worst, possibly 4-0, which would make them 10-2. And they're looking at that January 1st bowl invite as a Big Ten club. So I think people are asking, why are they not playing Drew Allar? You know why? James Franklin has a coaching record. He wants to get into a big bowl game. And you know what, Matt? Sean Clifford gives him the best chance. In three of the last five games, he scored over 30 fantasy points, Matt. I was stunned looking at this. 2 weeks ago, 295 and four touchdowns against Minnesota. Last week, 371 and three touchdowns against the Buckeyes. Now, unfortunately, he tossed three interceptions, which really hurt his day. He unlocked Parker Washington. I don't know if it's the coaching staff. I don't know if it's Clifford just being smart with the football and getting Washington involved, but they're putting up points. Parker Washington's playing well. Clifford's playing well. And did I mention they're playing Indiana? This is a game where Clifford could eat again. He also has sneaky upside with his legs, even though I'll say this. They have a stable of running backs with Singleton and
Allen. Catron Allen.
Catron Allen. So they're going to run the football at the goal line. He's not getting those easy sneaks that they used to. They have too much talent in the backfield, but he still could get 30, 40 yards rushing. I'm surprised I'm saying this, but I love Sean Clifford this week. The other player that I'm fascinated in lately, and everyone knows I'm an American Athletic Conference fan, the Cougars I had high expectations for. Matt, they started off the season terrible. Clayton Tune wasn't playing well. I think people wrote off the Cougars, Matt. They've won three straight games. Clayton Tune has been unbelievable, my friends. I had to pick him up desperate out of a bye situation, and he scored me like 40 points. And I've been watching the Cougars. Their offense is good again, Matt. And then they've had a lot of injuries in the backfield. So this young man, Stacy Sneed, has been like third or fourth on the depth chart, but they've had so many injuries. They finally gave him the bulk of the carries 2 weeks ago against Navy. He had 100 yards rushing on 20 carries. Last week, he had 23 fantasy points because he scored twice and he had three receptions. You're looking for a long shot flex. They are playing SMU this week. He's going to get touches in an explosive offense. Stacy Sneed is playing good football. I like him a lot. We have mentioned that offense at Arizona State, Matt. The player who I'm actually blown away at how well he's playing, Elijah Badger. Last three games, Matt, 22, 24, and 24 fantasy points. Matt, here are the targets, 9, 9, and 11. He has scored three times in the last three games. He's exceeded 100 yards in two of the last three games. Elijah Badger is playing very good football. Now, they're underdogs against UCLA. I don't expect the Sun Devils to win that game, but I like the game script. They should be thrown in the second half. Elijah Badger, I've watched some highlights. I want to be honest, not like I've studied a lot of Arizona State film recently, but the highlights are fascinating. The numbers are there. I like Elijah Badger in this game a lot. And I really just put Connor Wigman because I wanted to talk about him. If you're desperate, you could play him. I'm still in a wait-and-see mode. But, Matt, Texas A&M was awful. I don't know what Jimbo Fisher was doing. Their quarterback play before they finally put in Wigman last week was as bad as you can get. He's a freshman. I think he's a four-star recruit. Am I right? I think he was a four-star.
He's a five. He's a five. He was the top recruit, if I'm correct.
Okay. So they finally put him in. He unlocked their young receivers, Muhammad and Stewart. Devin Achane is playing good football right now at running back. They have a good matchup this week. I think everyone needs, if you're in a Devy dynasty, if you're looking for future CFF, this young man you got to get eyeballs on. Last week, 28 completions and 44 attempts, 338 yards and four touchdowns. They shellacked Mississippi. I didn't expect them to, you know, I did not expect them. They lost, but they put up 28 points on Mississippi. I didn't expect that. He's playing Florida this week. Everyone, he's a young man you've got to watch. He's fascinating. So I wanted to talk about him. That's why I put him in the super flex.
All right, before, you know, our listeners get too up in arms here from Clemson, Kate Klubnik was quarterback one. Connor Wegman was quarterback two in the 247 rankings.
That's all right.
Jumping on to my picks here, I'm going to start with quarterback Tanner Morgan. I got to say, I understand, folks. This one doesn't sound good. All right, we oftentimes tell you to swallow the pill here when it comes to quarterback play in the Fantastic Four Sleeper segment. Now, Tanner Morgan – this week is playing Nebraska. So although he's not had the best statistical season against Michigan State and Colorado, which I would say are actually statistically better passing defenses, but equally as challenging, 425 passing yards and six touchdowns combined. Nebraska is 118th in passing yards allowed per game, averaging 288 passing yards per game this season. So if you are in a bind where you are, even in some of my deeper C2C leagues, John, between injuries and buys, it can be tough to scrap by with a quarterback. So Tanner Morgan is a playable option this week. George Ohlone, I feel like folks, I don't know. I feel like he still doesn't quite get the credit that he deserves. He had kind of a slow start to the season. Ohlone is the running back for Boise State. He has 657 yards this season and six touchdowns. 396 of those yards and five of those touchdowns came in his last three games. This week, the Broncos play BYU. BYU is allowing 206 rushing yards per game on the season, but 268 over the last three. So you have a combination of BYU's rushing defense getting worse and George Ohlone getting better. That is a recipe for a smash play. We talked about him, I believe, 2 weeks ago, but Ryan O'Keefe is back in play this week, wide receiver for UCF. 325 receiving yards and four touchdowns in his last four games. John, that's compared to 136 yards and zero touchdowns in his first four games. So similar to Ohlone, he's getting unlocked, and I think there's value because folks form a narrative early in the season. This week, UCF plays Memphis, who is allowing 283 passing yards per game. I believe John has used the word awful to describe the Memphis defense earlier this season. 112th in the nation. But they're allowing actually more passing yards per game at home, 314 passing yards per game at home. This game will be played at Memphis. So a lot of factors working in Ryan O'Keefe's favor. And I wanted to slide in Austin Stogner here because I mentioned it earlier, but the tight end position can be a little rough in college fantasy football. So sometimes we got to dig a little bit deeper. Austin Stogner from the University of South Carolina has 7 receptions and 109 yards over the last 2. This week, the Gamecocks play Vandy. They're 130th in the nation in passing defense. Vandy's allowing 314 passing yards per game. Stogner, of course, has that chemistry with Spencer Rattler. So if you are looking for a desperation-type tight end play, you can do much worse than Austin Stogner. John, finish up our Fantastic Four segment with your 4 players as a foundation of your cash game DFS approach.
Matt, my season average after 9 weeks, and that includes the day and night slates each week on Fantrax. I post them. Here I just give everyone the day slate. My average is 77 points a week with my Fantastic Four. This week I'm doing something that's a little different, Matt. I'm going above the $25,000. I usually like to keep our Fantastic Four under the 50% mark for salary to give our viewers a lot of options. But Matt, this week, I think the algorithm broke. I do not understand what happened at the running back position. Matt, the most expensive running back on the slate is Israel Abakanda, who's leading the nation in rushing. He's only $7,700. I mean, he should be a $9,000 running back on this slate. So I looked, I said, oh my God, you got to go big. There's so much value here. Mohamed Ibrahim is playing Nebraska, Matt. He's at $7,300. Let me give you some of his other salaries this year. 95, 94, 96. 89, 84. He went down $1,100 and he scored 39 points last week. I don't know what broke. Did someone get into the algorithm and change something? I have no idea, but you've got, in my opinion, against Nebraska. And if you haven't noticed, everyone, they are trying to get him records. Ibrahim, this game, I could not believe what happened. When they got shellacked by Penn State, Minnesota lost 45-17. Matt, he was in the game in the fourth quarter. He had 102 yards rushing. They wanted to keep his 100-yard rushing streak alive. There is no way that young man should have had 30 carries in a 45-17 blowout. Last week, he had 36 carries. This is against Rutgers. Now he's playing Nebraska. Love Ibrahim this week. Hey, Henderson, it looks like Marion Williams is out this week. Trevion Henderson, I'm hoping that people who aren't watching this or if people are looking at the raw statistics that they bypass Trevion Henderson. Matt, he hasn't been very good from a fantasy standpoint. Do you know only 3 times this year he's gone over 20 points? Part of it is obviously, you know, the Buckeyes prefer to throw. Part of it, Williams has been productive and stolen touchdowns and hit some home runs. Henderson needs that big week. If Ohio State's going to win this whole thing, they better have a running game late in the season. It's going to be hard to get through Michigan, Big Ten championship game, and the postseason playoffs if they can't run the ball effectively. I think you have to unlock Trevion Henderson here. He's only 6,400, Matt. He does have 35-point upside. He hasn't done it, but we know the upside's there. That is a great value for Trevion Henderson. And, Matt, I want a piece. I love watching fantasy players. I know you're not supposed to do it, but when you have big games, I had Hendon Hooker and Jalen Hyland against Alabama that week. It was so much fun. 2 weeks. Was it 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago? I think it was 2 weeks ago. This week, you could pay up for Hendon Hooker. I get it if you want. You could pay up for Jalen Hyatt. I get it. But you know, Matt, I think waiting in the wings is Cedric Tillman. He scored 34 points in week two. Did you read the reports that he was healthy, possibly to come back, and they let him on? They kept him on the sideline for one extra week. Yep. Matt, if you're Georgia, you got to stop Hyatt, don't you? Don't you think you've got this right? That's going to leave Cedric Tillman, I think, in very advantageous matchups. We're more likely to get one-on-one coverage. He's only 6,100 here. I love Cedric Tillman. So what did I have to do for our viewers? Because I spent a little bit more of my salary cap than normal on the Fantastic Four, I'm giving you a value price quarterback. It is Michael Pratt. If you don't notice, everyone, Tulane's in the top 20. They're 7-1. They're a good football team. In two of the last three games in DFS on DraftKings, Michael Pratt has produced over 28 fantasy points. He had a little bit of a down game against Memphis. He only scored 18, but his ceiling is 36. His floor is about 19. You're getting a starting quarterback at 6,300. To save some salary, I like Michael Pratt Tulane. That's my Fantastic Four this week, everyone.
All right, on to our best bets. Starting here with our prize picks of the week. As a reminder, the Rookie Big Board is teamed up with Prize Picks. You can download the Prize Pick app, get in on the same action that me and John are running through. 100% deposit matchup up to $100 if you use the promo code RBB. It adds some extra fun to your Saturday. Pairing together some over-under bets into some fun flex play parlays. And it also supports the show, which, as a reminder, comes to you completely free on a weekly basis. So, John, let's start here with your quarterback prize pick of week 10.
My only disappointment all season is when Fresno came to the rent. Now, I was happy UConn beat them, but Jake Haener didn't play in the game. That's part of the reasons why the Huskies were able to slow down that offense and win that game. Because I really wanted to see Jake Haener live, Matt. I wanted to, scout him a little bit with my – other than just TV. I think there is a difference watching a player live than on TV. But last week, Haener returned. I think he missed like four games for the Bulldogs against San Diego State, and I think it was a late kickoff. So if you weren't on the East Coast staying up, you probably didn't see this. Matt, Haener threw for 394 yards and three touchdowns. He's had in two of four games, he's smashed 20.5 fantasy points. I like him a lot. He's playing, did I mention Hawaii this week? They are playing Hawaii at Fresno State. Hawaii's not very good, Matt. They're defensively challenged. I love Haener here to surpass 20.5 fantasy points.
Yeah, quarterback pick for me, Bryce Young, over 20.5 completions. This one just feels like a smash. Only three games this season, Bryce Young hasn't gone over that. One of them was against Arkansas where he exited the game. The other two was Louisiana Monroe and Utah State when they did not need him. They will need Bryce Young to throw the ball. This LSU offense is going to keep up with Alabama. I'm not saying LSU is going to beat them, but Bryce Young's going to have to throw the ball and be competitive well into the fourth quarter. Over 20.5 completions feels like a confident smash play. John, your running back prize pick.
I hope people forget about him, and I don't think they're looking at this matchup against USC. Jaden Ah has been cold. Now, he's a freshman, and we know freshmen can be up and down, and it's hard on the body coming from high school at the college level and really becoming the workhorse so early. But if you haven't watched the Trojans, everyone, they stink on defense. I mean, they are really, really bad on defense. Cal will have to be forced to get the ball into Jaden Ott's hands. Now, he's been cold the last 2 weeks, so people are going to say, why are you taking this young man? It's about the matchup. I did a little research, looked at the newspapers, looked at the press coming out of California. all the quotes are, we've got to get Jaden Ott involved. We've got to get Jaden Ott involved. Matt, USC can get up a 50-yard touchdown any second to any player. They could give up a 50-yard reception to Jaden Ott. Jaden Ott could rip off a 52-yard touchdown against USC. I love this rushing and receiving prop. It's only 82.5 yards. He could get 50 rushing, 40 receiving, and we got it, Matt. I love Jaden Ott against the Trojans, 82.5 rushing plus receiving.
Will Shipley over 84.5 rushing yards for me. The last 2 weeks, 172 yards against Syracuse on the ground, 121 on the ground against Florida State. And listen, I think Clemson understands that this quarterback play is not going to be what they can rely on, and they need to put Will Shipley first in a must-win matchup against Notre Dame. So it's pretty straightforward here. I'm following game narrative, and I'm following a talented player. Over 84.5 rushing yards feels like a really nice line for Will Shipley. I'm telling you, folks, Prize Picks helps you out. All right. Prize Picks will help you out. And Shipley over 84.5 is one of those examples. All right, John, wide receiver pick for you.
Last week it was the Zach Charbonnet show. He was unbelievable against Stanford. I think he had three touchdowns, right, Matt? Like over 130 yards rushing. Well, this week, you have to think that Arizona State is watching the film. Stanford isn't very good. Arizona State can put points on the board, as we've discussed, which will force UCLA to throw a little bit more. Matt, this fantasy point at 12.5, it's really low. When Bobo scores a touchdown in three of the last four games, 32, 17, and 24 points. Last week, he didn't score because they didn't have to. They had Zach Charbonnet running all over everyone. Still had 7 points. If he had scored a touchdown, that's 13 points. I mean, I'm banking on Bobo getting his 7 to 9 targets and him hitting the pay dirt once. He had 5 touchdowns in the last 4 games. He didn't score one last week. I expect him to get in the end zone here. I love this 12.5 points for Bobo against the Arizona Sun Devils this week.
All right, I'm going with Jalen Hyatt over 4.5 receptions. You know, it's great. John was talking in our last segment about how you have to pay up for Jalen Hyatt if you're playing in a cash game, you know, platform here. But for Prize Picks, you're just playing against yourself. It's just over 4.5 receptions. And Jalen Hyatt, you know, when you look at this matchup, I know Cedric Tillman's back. That's fantastic. Tennessee's not only going to have to throw the ball a lot, but they use Jalen Hyatt as the mismatch piece, right? So he may not necessarily have a really high volume. We've seen him with really high rushing yards, but I do think he's good for over 4.5 receptions because against this talented Georgia team, Josh Heupel knows that he's going to have to win via the mismatch, and Jalen Hyatt is their best chance of getting a mismatch. So I think they're going to go to Jalen Hyatt early. They're going to go to Jalen Hyatt often. Again, promo code RBB gets you 100% deposit match. John, I was playing I was out of state traveling last week. And I couldn't play any other games. I couldn't wager on any other because that state didn't allow it. But that state did allow Prize Picks, and I put a nice little parlay on the Thursday Night Football Ravens game because, you know, you can play NFL as well. I won a cool $50, John, just watching the Ravens get a W. So it's it's just a little spicy. You know, it spices things up a little bit for you. Let's finish up here with our All-American Best Bet segment. Each week, John gives you a point spread over under money line. The key to this segment is that you need to listen to John's picks and completely ignore mine because he is just absolutely crushing me. 19-11 on the season for John. I am ice cold at 9-18. John, I think I was like almost 500 with 9 picks. I've just been ice cold the last couple weeks. But overall in the season, we're batting just about 500. So, John, start us off here with your point spread pick.
I've been really hot. I was 3-0 last week. I posted my bets on Fantrax. It was awesome, Matt. So I even had Dan Klaskins took my 3 bets, and he set them on the air on SiriusXM.
Nice, nice.
I was tailgating And my wife and my best friend heard Dan. They're like, wait, is that you? He's like, John Lobb's best bets are. I was like, yeah, that was great.
There you go. There you go.
I was 3-0. I searched for about 3 hours today. I really like my bets. I want to do well for the viewers. Obviously, I got skin in the game. I want to win for me. But I looked long and hard. I don't think, Matt, people realize the Cougars are playing pretty good football. They're on the road against SMU. But this is two teams in opposite directions. Mordecai's coming back. They benched him for Preston Stone, but Preston Stone hurt his shoulder. He's out again. So they have to reluctantly put Mordecai back in the game. SMU isn't playing that well. Houston is soaring right now on offense. They're putting points on the board, Matt. They would like to run the table. They have an outside shot at the American Athletic Conference championship game, but they've got to run the table here. I'm getting 3 points. It was 3.5. I love the hook, but it went down. So I have to be honest, when we go to our show, I always update the spreads. It's 3.5 as of Thursday night at 6 o'clock, or 3 as of Thursday night, 6 o'clock. Love the Cougars. I don't want to give up that half point hook, but I'll take the Cougars +3 on the road against SMU.
Yeah, I like that pick here. UNC -7.5. I am absolutely fine giving up over a touchdown here to Virginia. The Tar Heels are hot, John.
Oh, yeah.
They have 7 wins. They're 7-1. Only losses to Notre Dame. It was that 45-32 game, but it was closer than that score would indicate. You know, coming off of a beatdown here against Pitt. And really looking forward, John, for some momentum down the stretch here to make an outside shot at the ACC championship and potentially even college football playoff. On the complete opposite end of that is Virginia, John, who lost a triple overtime game where they never scored a touchdown. All right, 14-12, an embarrassing game. John, they've lost by 17 to Louisville. They've lost by 19 to Duke. They've lost by 19 to Illinois. They have only this season beaten Richmond, Old Dominion, and Georgia Tech. And Georgia Tech was only by 7. There is nothing about this Virginia offense or team in general that suggests to me that they can even hang with UNC. I would play this up past 10. Happy with 7.5 here. Let's go with your over-under pick.
Matt, it took me a long time. I had to triple check this because I'm wondering what is going on. My gut.
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
I was like, I'm looking at Texas and Kansas State at 54.5. Just to give you an idea, the over-unders in the Big 12, 69, 62, 65. Okay, West Virginia, Iowa State, I get why they're 50. And I said, Texas Kansas State is 54.5. And I'm like, Vegas, it's one of those tricky lines, right? Is Vegas know something that I don't know? And I'm like, you got two explosive running backs in Bijan Robinson, and you have it with Deuce Vaughn on the other side. Hey, Will Howard is a good backup. Adrian Martinez is hurt. I think Will Howard's going to start again. He's been putting points on the board since Quinn Ewers came in at quarterback for the Longhorns. He's been playing better. You have Xavier Worthy on the Texas side. There's offensive weapons all over. Yes, each defense is better than you would think. For the Big 12, their defenses are okay. Matt, I like this 54.5. I kept looking at the numbers. I don't see anything that's a red light. This looks and smells, but I say I'm taking the over on Texas. I'm going against the grain right now. Most of the bets are on the under. I'm going against consensus. I'm taking the over here, Longhorns and the Wildcats.
All right, I like that. Always good to bet Texas giving up points. I'm going over 40.5 here with Kentucky, Mizzou. It's an interesting game, John. I think both of these teams are going to come out really motivated. First and foremost, I don't think any of their games are under 40 combined. So Vegas is expecting them to veer off of trends. But you look at let's start here with Kentucky. They're coming off of a beatdown against Tennessee. You have to think that they're going to come out angry, especially Will Levis, who I think is going to be desperate to see his NFL draft stock bounce back. They've lost against South Carolina. They've lost against Ole Miss. Even in those games, they're scoring 14, 19 points. They're scoring enough here against that similar level of competition here. Not Ole Miss. Ole Miss is a better team than Missouri. But on the flip side of that, John, Missouri's got a little momentum. They beat Vanderbilt 2 weeks ago. They beat South Carolina last week. And it's a strong South Carolina team this year. They hung 23 on them. So this week they're going up against Kentucky. And to understand the psyche of playing in the SEC East, you know, Missouri's 4-4 right now. They've gotten two SEC wins against the teams they should. If they could go and take a swing at Kentucky, who is a team that's considered above them, that's considered a huge win in the SEC East. I think Missouri's going to come out motivated. You know, I see both of these teams finding the end zone three times. So I predict this game to be, you know, closer to the mid-40s. So I'm going to go over 40.5 here. I think that's a real nice line to play. And, John, you know, I got to love the money line pick here.
Matt, and anyone who knows, I don't go for the big games. When you've been watching our shows all year, I don't usually go for the hype. I stay away in general. But, Matt, I'm all in this week. Tennessee is getting the juice at plus 240, Matt. They're 8.5-point underdogs. I thought it would be like Tennessee plus 160. I know it's on the road, but they're the number one team in the nation. I know Georgia's going to be tough as hell. They're going to put up a fight. But I don't think this is Georgia's defense. It's not the same defense as last year. They're not as good. And Tennessee's offense is amazing. I like Tennessee to go in there and win. I seem to be in the minority in that opinion. I got to back it up to prove it. I'm taking the juice here. I'm not just putting, you know, I'm putting my money where my mouth is. I put the juice down already, two units on it, everyone, because I don't want this line to move. I like the plus 240. I feel pretty good. I'm like, that's a lot of juice I'm getting on this. For the number one, let me repeat, the number one team in the country, I'm getting 240. I don't know if I've ever seen that. Now, it's not like I went back 30 years to try to see, but how often is the number one team a huge money line underdog? I'll take the juice here. And one thing we haven't talked about that I have to add, Matt, can you believe this weekend we have Alabama, LSU, two top 10 teams, and no one's talking about them?
Like, yeah.
It's mind-blowing. I'm going to watch Tennessee. I'm going to watch Georgia with my popcorn. And then I'm going to turn on to LSU, Alabama. And there's barely a peep about that LSU, Alabama. Even when we were doing our matchups, it's only a 56.5 over-under. But I'm very interested in that Alabama-LSU game also.
All right, I'm going to go Kansas State plus 120 here for the money line. Kansas State, you referenced it, John, coming off of a big beatdown here of Oklahoma State, 48-0. So no worries about the quarterback play. You know, you look at, you know, quality losses, John, just a 7-point loss to Tulane, who's not undefeated. Are they undefeated? No, they're not undefeated. They're 7-1, but they are ranked, the highest ranked group of five team, I believe. And then a 10-point loss against TCU looks real good right about now. I expect them to go in and give Texas a real run for their money. Texas with TCU on deck might be looking ahead a little bit. I think this is a real good spot to get the Wildcats plus 120. Just a little bit of juice here this week for me. As always, we appreciate you checking out this episode, tuning in. It's going to be another huge week of college fantasy football, and we're glad that you started it with us. Thanks for checking out this episode of The Rookie Big Board.